Hey, friendly reminder, this podcast is not for kids or people who have a stick up their ass.
Friday, 5:58 p.m.
I'm sleeping with my best friend's husband.
I think my uncle killed someone in his suicide.
I am a sugar baby.
I'm a soccer mom addicted to Adderall.
I think my sister is actually my uncle's kid.
My husband bought his hooker a car whenever I
was helping.
What's your secret? Welcome back to another week of Beyond the Secret. My name is Ace Fanning, and I am back this month with what may possibly be one of the most interesting stories that I have ever had on the podcast. And tonight, you are only hearing part of this woman's story. I'll talk more about that after the interview, so make sure to stick around, because we are only just beginning to scratch the surface of this family's story. But before we get into that, I am here to remind you that if you have a story that you want to share on Beyond the Secret, all you have to do is email me. You can send your secret to beyondthesecretpodcast@gmail.com. And I don't need to know the whole story. I like to hear your story just as any listener would hear your story as we are going through it during the interview. You can just send over a quick little summary. And honestly, if you can't remember the email, you can always just DM me on Instagram. There is no need to be so formal. Also, you know I have to do it. If you haven't signed up for Patreon yet, I don't know what you're doing, but I do know you're missing out, because for just $10 a month, you can have weekly access to Beyond the Secret and never miss another secret again. But you're here now and you're listening to this secret. And like I said, it is one of the most interesting stories that I've ever heard. It's also very heartbreaking. And what I did with this is something that I appreciate as a listener, as the person who is producing this podcast. It is a terrible marketing decision because it makes this a whole lot less searchable. But experience-wise, I think it's great. With the way that I titled this story, you have no idea what's about to unfold. You're just going into this blind, and you get to be surprised by the story that you're about to hear. So, here we go. This week's secret, model family. Tell me about yourself.
Okay, so I am early 30s. I am a mom. I am in a helping profession. I like to help people. I guess if you talked to friends of mine, they would tell you that I'm fun to be around. I can be a good listener. I know a lot of things about a lot of different areas. I'm like the person you go to if you have a random question and you're not sure what the answer is and you don't know how to Google it. Just random facts about stuff. And I think that's a pretty good picture.
Who were you as a small child?
So as a child, I was kind of the goody two shoes nerd. I loved to read. Reading was my escape and was really my go-to activity. I was more of a loner. I typically was by myself, but sometimes I would try to get, you know, attention of my older siblings that kind of, they would stick together and then I would be on my own. But I thought they were so cool, so I'd want to go hang out with them and then get rejected every time. Then I just go back to my book. I followed what anybody told me to do. I would listen. So my mom made a rule. I was the one who would not question it. I would do what she told me to without any sort of pushback.
Talk to me about your family dynamics growing up.
So my family is one that from the outside looked picturesque, but from the inside was kind of torture, I guess is the word that I would use. So very large family, religious. My family went to church every Sunday. My mom has a lot of narcissistic tendencies, although she's never been diagnosed. She fits enough criteria that she would be if I was somebody that could make diagnoses. She had to be in control of everything. She ruled with an iron fist. We were expected to behave anytime that we were in public. We were expected to dress like we were going to be featured in an ad every time we went anywhere. We couldn't get dirty unless we were in our play clothes. Just very, very controlling. But once we were at home, she didn't really engage with us much at all. She would cook food. We'd have like family dinners until she was working. When she got a full-time job, we kind of just did whatever we wanted. The siblings kind of raised each other. And if you can imagine living in a house where your parent is very controlling and abusive verbally and physically, and then you're having siblings raise you who have been raised in that same environment, it was just criticism. It was you getting attacked for anything that you did. It was then physical abuse from siblings. It was a very unhappy, and it was just really intense and very chaotic.
Where does your dad fit into all of that?
So my dad was in school full time and working full time for most of my childhood. So he was very rarely around. When he was around, he was typically sleeping because he didn't ever really have time to sleep. So he mostly was not in the picture. My mom kind of ran everything. And as an adult, I've had conversations with my dad about it, and he said that he wanted to be away from my mom. So he would take whatever jobs he could get, even odd jobs on top of his schooling and on top of the 40 hours that he was working, so that he could leave the house, but not really recognizing that while he was leaving the house, he was leaving us all alone with my mom while he was gone, not even there to be a buffer.
How did your family get introduced to the world of modeling and acting?
So my oldest sister, she signed up to do a fashion show in a mall. And we were in a big city, so she was pretty young. I think she was around 6. And so she did this fashion show and afterwards was approached by a modeling agency to sign her. And then after that, all of us, as soon as we were born, were signed up through the modeling agency and started doing work as infants.
So you were immediately just thrown into this world.
Yes, I know I started working right away. I was on a pretty big baby's ad for a baby product as I think I was around 8 months old in there, and then just kind of continued throughout my childhood.
How did you feel about modeling when you were younger and when you were in the moment?
Yeah, I thought it was really cool and I felt kind of special for doing it because it was out of the ordinary. And I remember one time I was on a box of a toy and I was at like Target and I saw the box, and I was with my mom and one of her friends, and her friend was like making a big deal about how cool it was, and a Target employee overheard and then was like, oh, can I get your autograph? And I'm sure it wasn't anything. She was just trying to make me feel special because I was a kid, but it felt pretty cool to do that kind of stuff. And then, you know, having friends invite you to a party and being like, well, I'm sorry, I can't go because I'm actually going to be in a fashion show this week. It felt special. And I guess I didn't realize, you know, the negative impact of it until I got older. But while I was in the midst of it as a young child, I just thought it was pretty cool, but also kind of normal because my whole family was in it. And so because of that, a lot of our friends were also in that world.
There is you and then five other siblings. It seems like a lot of work to manage six different children and their different job opportunities.
Oh, yes. It was definitely like a full-time job for my mom because she, you know, she had her planner where she'd keep everything scheduled. But then for a lot of the modeling jobs, like, for example, if you're going to be in a textbook, they have you bring clothes. So you have to provide your own clothes and you have to bring a variety for them to choose what's going to go along with what the other kids that you're going to be in the textbook with are wearing. And they can't have brand names on them. They have to be very plain, but still fashionable. So you have to bring a variety of colors, pants. At the time, overalls were popular. So overalls, maybe like jean skirts, you'd have to bring a variety. You'd have to pack a suitcase every time you'd go. So if we had multiple jobs each week, my mom would have to pack suitcases for each of us, make sure that our hair was done. And then because she wanted to give us more exposure, most of the time, the whole family was going along to a modeling job of a sibling. So that way, the photographer, the agency who was running it would see like, oh, this is what this sibling looks like. Well, I have another job coming up and I think that you would be a good fit. Why don't you come? So it was essentially like the whole family was there and we were all in like a job interview the entire time. So there was no acting up. We would literally be trained to sit in our chair and fold our hands and we could not move. And if adult talked to us, my mom would coach us on, this is what you do. You know, you hold your hand out for a handshake first because that's impressive. You introduce yourself first because they like to see that kids are friendly and they're not going to be shy. So it was just like, we always had to be on. We always had to be controlled. If we even started to bicker with a sibling, we would get that look and we would shut it down immediately. But if it escalated, then we would be getting a beating when we got home. And also to help my mom keep things in order, once we were old enough to memorize our social security number, we had our social security number, birth date, all of that information memorized so we could start helping fill out the forms. And we were also in charge of our own comp is like the word that you'd use that would hold your like a headshot, a body shot, all your stats. We would have to make sure that we got that on the way out. While my mom got the suitcase, we were in charge of getting the comp. And there were several times where we would forget the comp. Like I'd be 5 years old and forget the comp. And my mom would just freak out when we'd get there. And then I would be getting a beating later at home because I forgot to bring it with me.
I don't know if this question will make sense, but and I think it's hard to know for sure in the moment, but in the moment, do you think that anyone who was at these jobs, who was working on the set, had any idea of the type of person your mother was?
No, my mom was so good at hiding it. And I remember even one of my mom's close friends, really nobody had any idea what was going on in our house. And so my mom had one of her friends over and my mom got up to go get something. And I was probably around 8 at this time. And my mom's friend turned to me and said, "Do you know how lucky you are to have a mom like this?" And that just kind of blew my mind because I was like, I'm so unhappy here. I'm always scared. I'm always tiptoeing around walking on eggshells. And if I'm lucky to have this, what are other families like? it took so much time for me to really realize that, no, that wasn't normal. And when she said that she didn't know what was going on in the house, it was just her perception of how our family was, how we all listened to my mom and everybody was afraid to talk back in front of anyone. You know, I had a sister who would talk back when people left, but if she did it when people were there, the beating was so much worse. So around people, we would behave. But I did have siblings that would fight back if there weren't people around. I was not one of those. I would always follow the rules because that's kind of how I got attention. Having six kids and, you know, managing all of the business, and I strongly believe my mom was super depressed at the time. She would just kind of isolate herself at home, which we were fine with, because when she was around, if you did anything wrong, you were getting beaten or yelled at. So if she'd go out by herself, we would just kind of do whatever we wanted. But what ended up happening for me, being the quiet one that would read, is I would go days without anybody talking to me. I would just kind of sit in my corner and try to avoid everybody. But if somebody did speak to me, it was criticizing something that I did, or telling me something that I was wearing was stupid, or telling me that I was stupid. And so I did not get really any attention at all.
Can you talk to me about the beatings that you and your siblings would receive?
Yeah, so it kind of just depended on what was around. So sometimes we'd get like the structured ones where it was like, you acted up on a job today, when we get home, you're going to get a beating. Sometimes she would pawn that off on my dad. So if my dad did it, it would be like, she would just say, you need to do this because they made me mad. And so then sometimes he would let us choose like a belt or shoe or hand. If it was my mom, she would typically be in like heat of the moment. So she would just start whacking, kicking, whatever. Sometimes she would just grab whatever object was by her to use that. I remember one time I was like crying really hard. And so I was laying down on the floor, and then she started kicking my stomach. And then another time was like, she was like grabbing my head and pushing it down into the stairs on like the edge of the wooden stair. And I was trying to fight back. So I was trying to lift my head up. And so then she just kept slamming my head into the stair repeatedly. So it kind of encompassed a lot of different things depending on the moment.
Did you know at the time the things that your mom was doing to you were wrong?
Yes and no. So for most of the time, I kind of thought that it was normal. And part of that was because we grew up in a very diverse neighborhood. And a lot of our friends were like Chinese, Vietnamese, and their houses were very strict as well. So all of us would talk about like, oh yeah, I'm getting a spanking, or I got a spanking because I acted up, or my mom smacked me across the face. So within there, I'm sure that mine was a little bit worse, but it seemed normal there. And then at school, one time I saw a pamphlet about child abuse, and I was reading it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is what my house is like. And then I remember one time my mom and I got in a fight after I had seen that, and I yelled to her, I know that this is child abuse and I'm going to call somebody, because I was so mad. And she just laughed. And so I was like, well, maybe it's not, because I felt like she would have been more scared if it actually had been. But then when I was 12, my family moved to another state and we were in a small town. And that was when I really recognized that what was going on was not normal and was not okay, because none of my friends experienced anything like what I went through at all. And so then I was scared to even like talk about it, because I felt so like just like the odd man out. But I really realized that it was not what was happening in other kids' houses.
Thinking about how you were talking about growing up with the other kids who grew up in really strict homes, do you think that part of the reason why maybe your stories didn't stand out against theirs? Because I mean, I think a lot of kids grew up getting spankings, but I think a lot less kids grew up getting kicked in the stomach and experiencing the things you did. Do you think that maybe you were desensitized to what was happening to you, and when you would talk to your friends about it, you would kind of downplay what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. We were trained really well about what to speak about, because when you're treating your kids this way and then you're expecting them to go and be around all these adults all the time doing a job like modeling, my mom was very good about like laying down, like, this is what's okay to talk about and this is what's not okay. And I don't even know if she like explicitly said it, but the looks that we would get if we started going into anything that was too personal, we immediately knew like this was not okay. I remember one time there was like one of the people who was helping set up a job, and he was just making conversation with me, and he said, so are you like messy? Does your room look nice and tidy? Like how would you describe like your room? And I was like, oh my gosh, my room is a huge mess. And my mom just shot me this look of like, that you don't go there. You do not talk about that. And so then I was like, okay, never going to answer that again. But anything about like family dynamics, like, oh, do you get along with your sister? And then me being like, oh no, we fight all the time. Like we beat each other up. But the moment that I started going down that path, my mom would be there giving me the look. And I know that it wasn't okay. And like the example with the messy room, I got beaten after that for saying that my room was messy. But she luckily shut it down before I got into the rest of it, because the reason why my room was messy was because my mom would buy so many clothes for all these modeling jobs. And when she'd pack a suitcase, she wouldn't unpack it and put the clothes back where they went. She would just like throw them on the ground. And so then if we didn't clean up after all of the modeling jobs, they would just pile up and it would just be like piles all over our room. So obviously she wouldn't want anybody to know about that. So she was very sure to shut that down as soon as she could. But like we weren't allowed to have friends in the house, because she didn't want people to be in our space seeing how our family interacted. We very rarely had our own friends come into the house. And I think part of that was just to keep her secret.
Were you guys enrolled in school at the time?
Yeah, we were. We were enrolled in a school, and everybody at the school knew our family because of the modeling and how many siblings there were. We all went to the same school. They never notice anything alarming. I think she was pretty careful not to grab places that would leave a visible mark, and none of us would ever say anything. The one thing that we did get a lot of calls home for was about our absences, because we would miss a lot of school to go on modeling jobs. We were always over the threshold. They were always calling home to say, like, if you really need to get your students here, but my mom would just kind of ignore it.
As you were growing up, do you feel like your older siblings would start to push back more against your mom and the abuse, or even against the modeling jobs?
Yeah, so my oldest sister, she moved out of the house when she was 17. She moved across the country to live with some extended family. And the reason why, the main reason wasn't due to trying to get away from the abuse, but I think it was just like she really, really pushed for it when she found out that it might have been possible, because she wanted to get out. But the moment any of my siblings were old enough to leave on their own, they tried to be gone as much as they could. So then they weren't around to protect the younger siblings, but they were out away from the family. And my oldest brother, he was the most successful. He did spend the longest time within the world of modeling and acting, because my family didn't move until he was already an adult. But he was very, very successful, and he got nearly everything that he went on. And he started noticing at a pretty young age how much my mom was putting in the bank. So she had opened a bank account under his name with her name on it as well. And she would deposit all of the money that he made from his modeling jobs in there. And so he could have access to see, but he couldn't take anything out. So my mom would put it in and then she would take it out. And she did this, I think, to hide it from my dad, is why she didn't put it in their account, but put it under my brother's name. So my brother started checking the balance all the time, and he was just like shocked at how much money she was making. And he actually made an appointment with a bank manager to say, you know, I'm 17, I'm on this account. How do I stop my mom from being able to access it? Because she's taking all of this money that I'm earning. And the man said, I'm sorry, if you're underage, there's nothing that I can do to stop it. Now, my brother was quite a bit older than I was. And I remember after he had moved out of the house, he came back one time and he didn't have his normal room set up. So he had to sleep on the floor somewhere. And my sisters and I begged to have him sleep in our room because we didn't get to see him very much anymore. And so he was sleeping on the floor in our room and we were talking and he said, do you even know how much money you guys are bringing in from doing this? And I was like, no. I was like, well, mom pays us. Like, I get $10 if I'm, you know, in an ad, and I get $20 if I'm an extra in something film, like a commercial or a movie or a TV show. And he was like, yeah, that's nothing compared to how much you actually make. And I just was like, there is no way that mom would not be telling us the truth about this. Like, I was just like, I think that she would tell us if she was making more. And he just said, okay, whatever you want to believe, but I'm telling you that you're making a whole lot more than you even know. So he said that to me because I was doing the most work out of, besides him, I got the most modeling, and really kind of the niche that I was in was voice work. So doing, sometimes they'll put an actor in a commercial, but they didn't like their voice. And so they'll have somebody come in and do the voice over them. So I would do a lot of those. I would do a lot of radio spots. I would do, you know, some McDonald's stuff. Like, I did a lot of voiceover work. And so he said that to me, just, you know, like, heads up, you're doing all of this and you're earning a lot and you really have no idea. But I still was just, you know, under my mom's spell. Like, there's no way that that's right. And I kind of didn't really question it very much until I was probably in my mid-20s, I guess. And I got a piece of mail from the unions that we had to join to do that sort of work. And it told me that I made enough as a child to earn retirement once I turned 65. I would get a monthly payment. And I was like, how the heck did I do that much? And he told me that he had gotten the same and only the two of us earned enough money to earn that retirement. But then I started getting very seldomly, a check in the mail because a show that I was on was airing again on a TV station. And so I was getting residual payments for it. And the first check that I got was just like $500 that showed up. And it's gotten less and less from that. That one was very large because they hadn't had my address. Once we moved across the country, they didn't have the address to send that money. So it had been years of this TV show playing that $500 check was covering. But then I had a conversation with my brother about it. And he was like, you know what? I don't know if you want to do the same, because it was really depressing for me to see this. But he told me that he contacted Social Security to get a list of how much money he had made during his childhood years tied to his Social Security number. And when he told me the number, I was just like shocked. I was shocked and I was so pissed off. So he told me that from when he started modeling and he was around 2 until 18, when he left, he had made no less than $80,000 a year. Now, this was just one brother of all 6 of us working at the same time. So this is just one brother. And my mom saved none of it. So I paid for my college all my own with, you know, scholarships and loans. And all of that money was gone. And we never had any idea how much she was making. I don't even think my dad had any idea how much she was making. But just to have multiple kids making quite a bit of money and then just keeping it for yourself, it just blew my mind.
Going back to the conversation when you were younger and your brother was saying, do you even have any idea how much money you make? You know, I think that a lot of us have had situations when we were growing up where we maybe had a job like babysitting or something where we do get paid, but like, our parent takes it and they give us a portion of it because the rest of it goes into the bank. And so getting the $10 for doing the ad, that to me makes sense. It's like, oh, here's your $10 and the rest of it is going, because what does a kid really need money for? And I think that for your mom, that was the perfect setup. I think the difference is that the rest of our parents put that money actually into a bank account for us. And for you, that just wasn't the case at all. Do you have any idea, even just a range, of how much you would be paid per job that you did? And I understand like every job is different, but just a ballpark estimate.
I honestly have no idea. And I'm sure that I could find that stuff. My mom was very secretive about hiding it, but she is also a hoarder. So I'm sure that I could probably find it somewhere, but she does not like people touching her stuff like at all. So like, I just found a box of old pictures at her house that I was going through, and inside were some like receipts, and it was like from Jewel, or that's a grocery store, but it was like from a grocery store. And so I'm like looking at from the 90s how much a grocery shopping trip costs, and I'm looking at the prices. I'm like, oh, this can of whatever was so much cheaper. And she like freaked out and was like, why are you looking at that? I brought this out so you could look at pictures, not so you could look at receipts and papers that are in there. And my other brother was there, and he said, I would be looking at that stuff too. It's fascinating to see the difference in the costs. But she's just so secretive about what she was doing with her money at that time that she does not want anybody to look at anything that's on, you know, any sort of paper. And I remember one of my brothers, who was definitely more of a rebel than me, he said a couple times when he was going out with friends, he would sneak down into my mom's purse and see if he could grab some money. Because my parents never gave us money. We never got any sort of, not allowance, not pocket money, nothing at all. And they wouldn't really buy us anything either. It was just clothes for modeling, and that was kind of it. But so he snuck down in her wallet, and he said there were like just $100 bills, just like wads, like $100 bills in there. And he's like, I would sometimes take like $200, and she'd have no idea that I took this money because there was so much in there that she didn't know.
So as you got older, you said that you didn't really have this realization until you were in your mid-20s. As you got older and you started paying for college and you were taking out these loans, at that point, were you still under the impression that that $10 your mom would give you was what you were actually paid for? Or did you think, oh, like there's this bank account somewhere out there? You know, did you ever have a conversation with your mom of like, hey, can I have some of that money to help pay for school?
No, I knew that there was not anything out there for me. And my parents would fight about money constantly in front of us, which is just crazy to, for me to think about now when I'm thinking about how much money she would bring in at that time, that she would, you know, yell at my dad. But she had this dream of what their how what their life would look like when they got married. And my dad was supposed to be doing a job that made a lot of money, and he didn't end up doing that. And so she, even while she was making all this money from us, she would yell at him for not making enough money because she still had to work. And by work, I mean manage our modeling careers was the work that she was doing. And so she felt like she had been wronged because she was promised that she was going to, you know, live a life where she'd have a lot of money with his job, and then it didn't work out. And so now she had to do this. And it was like any argument that they would ever get in, she would turn it back to money. Even if it was so completely unrelated, she would just go, well, this wasn't what my life was supposed to be. My life was supposed to be making all this money and staying home and raising the kids. And now I have to do X, Y, Z and be gone all the time because what you said you were going to do is not what you did. So because of that, we always knew, like we, I don't know if we knew, but we always thought there was no money anywhere. And if we'd ask for things at the store, like see something we liked, it was, no, we don't have money for that. But then we would see like nearly every morning when we would go to get on the bus for school, there would be packages like QVC packages, so many packages out there. And I remember having conversations with my siblings of, you know, how is it that we never have money, that mom acts like we don't ever have money, and she's always yelling at dad and always yelling at us if we ask if we can get anything or go anywhere that costs money. But then she has all these packages on the front porch. We were really confused, but I honestly was just like, no, I have to pay for college. The only way I can go is if I pay on my own, because my parents were always yelling about the fact that there was no money. And when the time came for college and I was filling out my FAFSA, my dad just threw me, you know, his W-2s and was like, here, you can fill it out on your own. Use my information. And seeing his income and what was in his bank accounts, it was very, very clear that there was no money.
And I think that, you know, your mom definitely deserved to be compensated like any manager would. And standard, I think, is like somewhere between 10 and 20% of all of the money you guys would make would go towards her as a manager's fee. And I think with the six of you working, taking 10 to 20%, she would have, I mean, and knowing that your brother made no less than 80,000, and I know the rest of you maybe weren't as high, but she could have had a pretty nice salary each year for the job that she was doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a confrontational person at all. So I still have not really outwardly told her that I know. And the brother who told me that, we rarely see him. I mean, like once every 10 years or so. So he mostly, you know, tries to stay away from the family. As soon as he could, he moved far away and then doesn't really ever come back. So he hasn't said anything to her because they don't have that sort of relationship. But I'm like, at this point, nothing can be done about it. But I did find out, I want to say maybe like 2 years ago, that in California, and I want to say it was from like the 1970s, they made a law in California that if you are a parent who's managing a child that is in, you know, modeling and acting, that some of the money is automatically taken out of that kid's paycheck and set in an account that only that child can access when they turn 18, because so many parents were using their children in this way. But in the city where we lived, there was not anything like that. And so I did say that once, like about how nice it would have been if that had been a law where we lived so that we could have kept 10% and it hadn't all been spent. And she just kind of pretended like she didn't hear me. And then like kept on eating. And so I was like, okay, I won't say anything more.
How much do you know about your mom and her childhood?
I know a little bit about her childhood, not a ton. She's kind of secretive about it. And some of it, I imagine she doesn't really remember. She did not have a happy childhood, not really a happy home. She and her dad were very, very much alike. So my grandpa, he is also a hoarder, always has to buy the newest gadgets, even when there wasn't any money. He was kind of like in and out of jobs, and all the money that they did get came from my grandma. And he just kind of would stay somewhere for, you know, a month and then quit and live off of my grandma and then kind of just job hop like that. I know that he was abusive and that they always had money issues as well.
You talked about how your mom would react if you guys had acted up at a job or said something you weren't supposed to. How did she react if you guys went to an audition and didn't book a job?
She wouldn't be crazy about it. She would just kind of let it go. The only time I ever really remember her, you know, getting mad at me about a job was just the fact that some of my siblings would do a lot of hand modeling work. And that one's really easy because you don't have to worry about, you know, packing up clothes. So hand modeling was something a lot of people wanted to get into for their kids, because it was a lot less stress. And so some of my siblings would do that, but I never could. And I remember her yelling at me for biting my nails all the time, because she would be like, you could be such a great hand model, but you can't stop biting your nails. And she would get on me about that. But that was really the only time when I remember her getting upset. And I think part of that was my oldest brother, when he was starting out, he almost got a very, very huge role. And when he ended up not getting it, he was devastated. And so I think from there, she just kind of was like, you know, if they really want it, they're going to beat themselves up and they're going to figure out how to get the next one that they really like, learning from that experience without me, you know, having to berate them or discipline them for not getting it.
Do you have any memories growing up of your mom being what you think a mom should have been to you growing up?
I have a few memories of my mom sitting and reading with us, maybe two different times I can think of. Other than that, I remember one time, there was one morning I was getting ready for school and she was actually up that morning. Most mornings we would just get up and get ready for school without her being awake. And so she was up and she came over to me and I was so tired. And she said, "You look really tired. Why don't you stay home from school today and just rest?" And I was just like floored that she was offering to let me stay home from school because I looked tired. And so, and I remember thinking in that moment, like, oh, she must care about me. Like, I remember being so excited that, you know, she noticed something like that. And so I was just really excited that I got to stay home. But other than that, not really. And looking back on that memory, it's kind of sad that that's what I think of, because I think that any parent would do that. But for it to stand out so much to me now as an adult, I guess just speaks to how she was not really nurturing or motherly.
I think of everything you've said, that's probably the saddest thing that has come out of your mouth. And I think that that is so telling that you can specifically remember just those few instances. I feel like that paints the full picture of who your mom was and the environment that you grew up in.
Yeah, absolutely.
How old were you when you finally left the home?
So I was 17. I was a younger student. So when I was old enough to go to college, I was 17 after I'd graduated. And so that's when I left. And I'd come back during summers if I had to, but I left as soon as I could. And pretty much all of my siblings have kind of followed suit, leaving as soon as they could and trying not to come back.
Once you left, did you feel a sense of freedom in getting away from your mom and away from that situation?
Yeah, it felt like the heaviest burden you could imagine that just sat on your shoulders all the time was lifted. And the other thing that came out of it was I get along with my mom so much better if we talk over the phone. So if we have like a phone sort of relationship, not that I would talk to her all the time, but leaving the house was when I felt like I actually kind of had a parent that I could ask for help. So there were a couple times in college. Well, one time, you know, I had no money and I was living on these cans of beans and wieners that an aunt had given me. And I was like rationing them because I had no money. And I told one of my sisters. And so she told my mom, and my mom went and immediately like deposited money in my account. I was really, really shocked that she had done that, especially since she didn't tell me. But then she called me after and was like, "If you ever you need money, please let me know. And I will go put money in your account." And then there were a few other times where she kind of like helped me out of a jam as much as she could. And even financially, which she'd never, ever done before. If I needed money for anything growing up and in her house, I would have to earn it myself. So it kind of helped improve the relationship when I left. And the other thing was I had control over when I could see her and not see her. So if I didn't want to answer the phone as she called me, then I actually finally had control over that. Like, no, I don't have time for this right now, so I'm not going to answer the phone. Or I need to go, so goodbye. And prior to that, you know, she wouldn't end a conversation until she felt like the conversation needed to end. And if we were in a fight or an argument, and she felt that everything that she had to say had not been said, she would keep it going, even if it was spanning several days. She would continue to start the fight every time she'd see me again until she decided that it was done. So having control over that piece was really freeing and kind of empowering.
Over the course of doing this podcast, I have had mental health professionals feel the need to remind me that I am not a mental health professional. And I think it's situations like this of what I'm about to say where I really showcase that. And the thing is I'm not a mental health professional. I don't pretend to be. I always say that I talk to people the way that I would talk to my friends. And what I'm about to say is probably not the most productive thing I can say, but I think what breaks my heart so much to hear you say that is that while your mom would come in and she would help you out financially in these situations, it's not like the money she gave you was anywhere near the amount of money that she stole from you.
Yeah. And, you know, as an adult looking back, it's like, I'd be fine going without the money if I had had like a nurturing and loving parent. That's also sad to think about too. Like it could have been thousands of dollars, but if I had just had even an attentive one, even one who had any idea of what was going on in my life or asked me, you know, how I was doing or anything like that. And yeah, so I'm sure you can see like how that kind of ties in to the next secret as well of like nobody knowing what was going on with me.
It's interesting hearing you talk and knowing very, very little about you. I feel as though you are somebody who has been conditioned to expect very little from other people, and you're very quick to sacrifice in order to just keep others happy. And I'm curious, I could be wrong about that, but I'm curious to know, what sort of things do you see in yourself now and in your behavior and in your personality that are absolutely a side effect of your childhood and everything that you went through?
Right. So I am a counselor. So number one would be that I like to help people, and that gives me fulfillment. But a huge, huge thing is that I do not know how to have close friendships with anyone. And I don't even really know how to have close relationships with my siblings, because we only ever beat each other up. And I never saw positive relationships modeled from anybody at all. I saw my parents hug twice in my life, and that's all that I've ever seen them do. They wouldn't even sit next to each other on the couch. So I have, and they didn't really have friends that they, like their friends they would see once in a while. My mom didn't really talk with people on the phone. She didn't talk with her siblings on the phone. We didn't really see my grandparents very much. And so I do not know how to accept love from people and show love to other people. And as an overthinker, then that just kind of makes the situation worse. But I remember when I went to college, I ended up being by some of my dad's extended family, and I didn't know them very well, but they would come like twice a month and bring me a package of like some food. And I felt terrible that they were doing that. I just felt awful that they were bringing me this food, and they had a big family, and for them to take time out of their day to come see me and bring me food, I was just like, I don't know how to react to this. I don't know why they're doing this. It made me feel kind of uncomfortable. But then they kind of stopped. And a couple years after that, I was talking to my dad, and he told me that my aunt and uncle felt like, or they stopped because they felt like I just that I looked uncomfortable. And so they thought that they were like overstepping or like inconveniencing me. But I just did not even know, like, it blew my mind that somebody would do that. And I never had any sort of relationships where anybody would do anything for me. And I didn't know how to handle it. And so I guess I must have, you know, definitely let them see those vibes. I guess I wasn't holding it in very well. And so they felt like they would be better off, you know, honoring my wishes and not coming by anymore. But I didn't really feel bad about the situation because about them not coming. It didn't even hurt my feelings because it was just like, well, it seemed so strange that they would have done that in the first place that I didn't take it as a rejection. It just was like, okay, I guess it is what it is.
I want to ask you about two very specific relationships in your life. And the first one is the relationship you have with your husband.
Yeah. So the relationship that I have with my husband is an interesting one because I've known him since I was in junior high school. And I think that that's really the only reason why, you know, we were able to start a relationship because I was really, really awkward around romantic interests and that kind of thing from not seeing it modeled. But because we were like best friends first and he knew me, you know, in the midst of it, I never really had to go through awkward introductions of, you know, I may be interested in you or like, let's date and see how it is. It was just from friends to more later on. And I never really had to do any pursuing when we were old enough to be of marriage age. He did all of that. And so seeing, you know, his confidence in a romantic relationship, I just kind of followed his cues. So I'm sure you can guess that he was the one who, you know, started, like, I see you as more than a friend. He's the one who told me he loved me first. All of those things came from him. And I would just kind of be like, okay, I guess this is what we do now.
And how does your relationship with him look today, seeing as you grew up in a house where your parents were never affectionate, you didn't have those relationships modeled for you?
I mean, I wouldn't say we're overly affectionate, but we're definitely affectionate. We hug and kiss every day, you know, in our bedroom and also in front of our kids to make sure that they see that. He's not, some guys are very, very touchy, very affectionate, and he's not, you know, overbearing in that way. I think I would say that I probably initiate more, but I feel very, very drawn to physical touch. I guess since I didn't really get it as a child, that has become my primary love language. And so with my kids and, you know, my husband, I try to touch them in some sort of way as often as I can, whether it's just cuddling next to each other on the couch or patting their head when I walk by or, you know, kissing their cheek if they're next to me. I try very, very hard to make sure that they feel loved in that way.
When we very first started this interview, one of the first things you said is that you are a mom. And I'm curious to know how the relationship you had with your mom growing up has had an impact on you as a mother today with your own children.
Yeah, it's probably been what has made me the parent that I am. I feel like between my parents' relationship and my mom's relationship with her kids, I've literally been given a very detailed list or movie or book of this is exactly what you shouldn't do. So if you do the opposite of that, then you're going to be doing much better in the world. So in that way, I do feel like I'm better off than some other people because I'm like, I just do the opposite and then I'll be okay. And that's kind of what I try to do as much as I can. You know, parenting is hard and exhausting, but I rarely yell at my kids. I don't ever put my hands on my kids and I try to respect them. I want to hear what their feelings are. I want them to tell me if they're feeling uncomfortable so that I can figure out how to help them in that situation. Instead of treating them like, you know, kids that don't know anything that they're talking about, I try to treat them like they do understand, like, you know, your feelings, you're the expert on you. So you tell me what that feels like, and then I will try to help you. And I guess like I said, with my dad and my mom, I try to do kind of the opposite of what they did in their marriage as well. And so far it's worked out. Even the differences in my family and like my husband, so like my husband's parents and my parents, and it's interesting to see my kids start picking up on the differences between them too. They don't spend a ton of time with either set of grandparents, but they've come to me and said, you know, Mom, when we go to dad's parents' house, they hug us and they tell us that they love us and they play with us. And when we go to your parents' house, they've never told us that they love us, and they don't hug us or kiss us. And just to see like little minds picking up on those differences is just really interesting. And I'm sure that, you know, as they get older and more perceptive, they'll notice even more things that are different between like a typical, more normal family and one that was just really, really toxic and stuck in negative patterns.
I am a person who holds a lot of resentment, and I have a lot of anger that I probably need to work through. But I'm curious, do you have anger towards your mom for, I mean, you sound like such a well-adjusted human being, and maybe that's just because, like you said, you are a counselor, and it's so interesting to me that you still have a relationship with her, that you do allow your kids to see her, and also that, like, I think what you do that's so positive is you were able to take your mom and use it as a learning example and not allow it to completely dictate the person that you are now. But I do wonder, is there resentment there? Is there anger there? Or have you truly moved past it? And if you have, how? How does somebody move past all that hurt?
That's a good question. So my mom started to shift a lot when we made the big move across the country. And so she started to mellow out a little bit. And so she would still get angry and she'd still try to hit, but it wasn't as often as it was before. And then as we got older, she kind of, you know, stopped doing that. And so she would be hurtful with her words more than anything else. But it was interesting to see that as we became adults, she wasn't critical anymore. Once we hit the threshold where we were adults and we're making our own decisions, she completely pulled back on everything. And she would just be like, it's your life, you do whatever you want. And she wouldn't even tell us what she thought we should do. She just was like, you're an adult and you do your own thing. So when I started seeing that sort of respect from her, I started to see her kind of in a different way. And over the years, she's continued to mellow out to where I do allow my kids to be around her. And I try to like always be there. She does not often babysit unless it's like a really, like a situation where we have no other option. I have many other options I will go to before her because I don't like my kids to be around her without me being there. But of the times that I've been there, there's only been one time that I've ever felt like I needed to step in and stop her from something that she was doing. Other than that, she is a very different person and you wouldn't really notice. You wouldn't think that that's how she was before. But as far as the anger, now this is something that actually like it comes up with in conversations with my husband, because he will sometimes, you know, with my parents or whoever, friends, you know, he'll get upset and be like, you know, I'm so upset about this. I can't believe like your mom, you know, said this or did this. And he will want to, you know, hold a grudge or whatever. And I just sit and think, what was going on in her day that would have made her react that way? Maybe, you know, she had a hard day at work, or maybe something else happened. And I really don't think that that comment was actually about me. I think it was about something going on with her. And so it is very, very hard for me to get angry or feel resentment really towards anyone. And this is actually something that really bothers my husband, because, you know, if somebody wrongs him and then he wants to vent and I'm sitting there like, okay, but, you know, it's probably not about you. They probably went through XYZ and they're feeling upset. And he's like, no, like, why do you never get angry at anybody? Like, you can be angry. It's okay. And I think part of that is I still need to learn that it's okay for me to get angry sometimes and set boundaries, that I am worth setting boundaries in place. I am worth making somebody uncomfortable. And that's something I'm trying to figure out, because, you know, at this point, like this is how it is. And with my family, with my friends, work relationships, even if somebody says something that would, you know, make other people mad, it really doesn't make me mad. I just always assume that everybody has the best intentions instead of assuming that they have bad intentions. The one area where I do, you know, feel upset is mostly when I think about, I guess, my dad, because I've had all these years to deal with what my mom has put me through. And because of the way that our minds work, it was like, okay, well, my mom, she's bad cop, very obviously. Because there were two and my dad wasn't as outwardly abusive and really was absent, he got labeled as good cop. And I always thought that he was like a good parent. And now being an adult, I'm like, he was not a good parent. He was totally neglectful. He knew what was going on and he just left us with her. So he just ran away and got to be labeled the good cop because she was stuck there with all of us and he was letting it happen. So that's really where I'm trying to work through right now, is just all that, the feelings with my dad. I guess with my mom, I've just kind of like accepted and moved on. And I know that I've been able to work through my trauma as best as I can. And it's an ongoing process always. But I recognized it and was able to move on. And she never recognized the trauma in her life. And so she's just stuck in it. She hasn't been able to move on. And I think that has negatively impacted her and her life probably more than it's impacted mine and my life. But I don't know what's the right view or if there's any good answer.
I think that where you are at is such a good place to be. And I think that your perspective is fucking amazing, because I think there's a lot of people, and I do not blame anybody who has been through any sort of hardship, especially as children growing up. I understand why they would sit in the anger. I understand why they wouldn't be able to forgive. I feel like, if I'm honest with you, I feel like you're kind of this unicorn to me who, I mean, fuck, like I wanna be like you, and I've not experienced anything near what you experienced as a child or as an adult.
Well, thank you. You know, it means a lot to hear that coming from somebody else, because, you know, with our spouses, I tell him everything, but when he says that stuff to me, I'm like, well, you married me, so obviously you're going to have good things to say about me. But coming from other people at this point, it can feel a little bit more meaningful, even though that's probably not the way that it should be. It should mean more coming from my spouse, but, you know, I'm kind of desensitized to like his comments about it. That sounds really bad, but I do appreciate you saying that. And it's been a journey to get where I am. I've been in therapy, and I like reading self-help books and meditation. I like to do these things to try to help me move past this stuff. But I just have never really been the sort of angry, resentful person. That's been kind of a lifelong thing. It's just how I am. And out of my siblings, I'm the only one that reacted that way. All the rest of my siblings are definitely more resentful and more angry. So I guess in my family, I kind of am the unicorn.
Growing up, I wanted to be a child actor. It's not the same as a child model, but that was all I wanted to do. So when this secret found its way into my inbox, I was like, I have to do this. Just to have the opportunity to get to hear what that world was like firsthand, that's very intriguing to me. And then all of the allure of being in that industry and everything that I dreamed of quickly wore off as I listened to this woman recount what she went through. And while the horror stories have nothing to really do with the actual industry and everything to do with who her mother was, and even though, like, I am sure tons of kids who were side by side with this girl on set have extremely happy memories of their time working, It just made me realize that maybe that wasn't actually the life I wanted. It's weird how a conversation with a complete stranger can completely change your mindset on something that for so long you're like, oh, that's totally what I wanted. And I always am beat myself up because I missed out on that. Anyways, at the beginning of this episode, I told you that there's even more to this woman's story and that we've really only scratched the surface of this family's secrets. So, starting next week on Patreon, we are diving into a two-part story that goes deep into the things that remained behind closed doors at this home. And before you get all mad and say, I can't tease part of a story on here, because this has happened before, people have gotten mad at me about this, I absolutely can. Because you just heard a complete story. And while the woman experiencing these stories is the same, and a lot of the key characters are the same, I have not left anything out. You have heard this story beginning to end. The story still to come is a story all its own. And I'm just letting you know that if you found yourself invested in this story, I promise you, you'll want to hear that one too. You can sign up for Patreon by visiting patreon.com/beyondthesecretpodcast. I hope to see you there, but if not, thank you for being here. I will see all of you next month.
Everybody has a secret.